right, let's open our Bibles tonight, and we're going into that wonderful, exciting 18th chapter. We'll begin that tonight. And we're going to now journey out of the upper room, and we're moving to the cross. And isn't it something that John, again, is the one that the Lord had chosen as the vessel to write this precious gospel, and we know that this is the pathway to the upper room of Pentecost. But thanks be to God, we don't know for certain, but most likely this is the same upper room that they came out of, feasting and the betrayal at and all of these things. Never forget, the Word of God is always going on. Doesn't matter what it looks like, what it might appear, all of those different things. The Word of God, hallelujah, is here. And we're thankful to God. In Jesus' name, we gather, and He's in the midst of us. So let's go ahead and read about this glory and this victory and this precious "it is finished" that we're coming up on, the beautiful Lamb of God. We'll go ahead and read the first 27 verses of the 18th chapter. When Jesus had spoken these words, He went forth with His disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden into the which He entered and His disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed Him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with His disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. My goodness, they were really going to get Him. Had a bunch of nuts. Now Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon Him, went forth and said unto them, "Whom seek ye?" They answered Him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus saith unto them, "I am." That He isn't actually there. He just says, "I am." And Judas also, which betrayed Him, stood with them. As soon as He had said unto them, "I am," they went backward and they fell to the ground. Then asked He them again, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am. If therefore ye seek Me, let these go their way." So again, there's not one lost. Those disciples are going to go. "That the saying might be fulfilled, which He spake of them which Thou gavest Me, I lost none." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, smote the high priest's servant, cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Now we know in other gospels that Jesus, again, healed that ear completely. And then said Jesus unto Peter, "Put up thy sword into thy sheath. The cup which My Father has given Me, shall I not drink it?" Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound Him. They bound Him just like they did the sacrifice, the lamb. Led Him away to Annas first, and he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest the same year. And Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. So here we have, and we'll touch on it again, this how mixed up they all were. They had two high priests. And see, they're just in such confusion, and that's what the enemy will do with you. He'll just bring you into complete confusion. And here was the high priest right there, and that is Jesus, obviously. And here's old Caiaphas. See, he gave counsel to the Sanhedrin, those Jews, and see, it was for their sake. But he was making it just like, and I'm not trying to insult anyways, but just like politicians do. They'll make it that it was expedient that one man should die for the people, that this was for the people's sake, not for theirs. See how crafty they think they are. But nothing's hidden from God. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and he spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, "Art not thou the one of this man's disciples?" Peter said, "I am not." And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. and Peter stood with them. So see, these unbelievers, what happens when you start hanging around unbelievers and warming yourself with them? You're going to find out again what happens. Then the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret I said nothing." So what Jesus is saying here, whether I would speak to somebody in a group or individually, I'm always the same. It's always the same truth. It never changes. I don't try to get a different angle or anything like that. Jesus Christ, the Word, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise His name. So let's be, again, encouraged in that. Just preach the Word. "Why askest thou me?" He said. "Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them. Behold, they know what I said." And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Answer thou the high priest so?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me?" Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas, the high priest, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, "Art thou not thou also one of his disciples?" And he denied it and said, "I'm not." One of the servants of the high priest, being the kinsman whose ear Peter cut off, saith, "Did not I see thee in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Yes, the word is true, and we best pay attention. Amen, amen. So what we have here is, "So sweetly, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself." Praise God. Hallelujah. The Word has got it. And they're never going to do anything. Man's not going to do anything but what the Word and that Word's power causes them to do. Now, ever since the birth of Jesus, he was pursued to be killed. Think about that. But no man could ever take his life. It was until this time, the fullness of time, and now he would give his life over for us. Isn't that wonderful? He would give his life. And so where does he go? He goes to the garden. He goes to Gethsemane. Gethsemane means the oil press. This represents such a sweet place because it's a place of surrender. It's a place of suffering. And notice, "So sweetly," it says that he passes over Brook Kidron. And he passes over this Brook Kidron. And the Brook Kidron speaks of the winter torrent, or as they say, these dark waters. But he goes there for us. And yes, brothers and sisters, he was made sin for us who knew no sin. Isn't that, again, such precious truth? And another note about this Valley of Kidron, which is very sweet. This is where David was betrayed by Absalom. And David had to go through this area as well, too, as he was fleeing that unruliness and that wickedness that was upon him, and the lies that were being said about David. It's very Christ, the typing here in this. And you think about what happened to Absalom. Absalom, in that same valley, he would be hung by his hair and killed. And soon we're going to see the same for Judas, except it's not going to be by his hair. It's going to be by his neck. And he kills himself. So we read here that Judas knew this place. And Christ had an appointment. He has appointed the wicked for the day of evil. Know that. Even the wicked can't do anything but what God's going to appoint them to. I hope you understand that. It's not that, you know, he would that all men be saved. You saw how he was so struck and burdened all to the end for Judas. He wanted him to believe. He knew he wouldn't, but that grace, that mercy still was poured forth until Judas again left him and turned and entered into darkness. He had completely rejected Christ and he had left at that time. So in that choosing, just like Pharaoh in his choosing, God hardened his heart. And that's what happens, and you'll be used in that manner so sadly, but I'll tell you what, it's all going to be to the glory of the Lord, and we better know it. And someday, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord. and they're going to know it. So praise God, and what a precious time that'll be. But so Judas knew this place, and Jesus brought him there in this band. And obviously they were expecting Jesus, and they were expecting Jesus to flee, because see, they had tried to get him at other times, hadn't they? But he always seemed to disappear. He always seemed to just slip away. Let me tell you something, he's not slipping away. He's just going to offer himself when he's going to offer himself. And it's going to be at the exact moment, and the word is going to be fulfilled to the exact, precise fullness of the word of God. So Judas brings with him here between 600 and 1,000 Roman soldiers. A lot of people don't know that. They think this little band is, you know, they had a few guys and all of that. That word band is actually cohort. And a cohort is basically a half of a legion. Could be anywhere from 500 to 1,000 or 600 to 1,000 men. But I'm sure that Judas was surprised that Jesus didn't flee. He didn't try to get away at all. But as in verse 4, this was the reason, because it says, Jesus knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them. See, he knows all things. There's nothing that catches our Lord by surprise. And I'm thankful to the Lord that we have that assurance because of Christ and his love to us, that Jesus knows, just like Peter will say, "Oh Lord, thou knowest," and what comfort that is. So they say to him, "Whom seek ye?" He says to them, "Whom seek ye?" And they say, "Jesus of Nazareth." Now, notice they call him Jesus of Nazareth. They do not call him Christ. They do not call him Lord, but they call him by the name of humiliation. And praise be to God, he answers them, "I am." I am. Not I am he, but I am. The same I am that I am. Praise God that spoke with Moses, and praise God the I am that was just always Alpha Omega. Praise be to God. This is he. This is who John spoke of in John 1, and we're so thankful for our Lord. And then it says here that entire legion, or half a legion, those 1,000 or so men, they went backward and they fell to the ground. I love that. That literally means that they were pinned to the ground. They fell to the ground like a corpse, prostrate, even in a sense, in a worship position, even though they didn't get up and worship, did they? See, it was if when Jesus said, "I am," this first time, a tiny bit of that Shekinah glory, just a tiny microscopic millisecond bit, shone forth and bam. If it was anywhere or any longer, everything would have been gone. Everything would have had to flee and be dissolved. But I believe that's such a precious time. But you see, he's all-powerful always. And that makes, brothers and sisters, his willingness to die for us and that he gave himself for us even that much more sweeter. You know that? Isn't that amazing? You know, you say, yeah, he could have called 10,000 angels and all and that. But you just saw just in I am. He has angels, but he don't need angels. You know, I want to make sure we understand that. And praise God, I am. Praise the Lord. Do you realize that I am is before you and behind you? And his hand is upon you. And you're the apple of his eye. That you're highly favored. And he adores you. We're going to read a little bit tonight, if the Lord tarry, about one he so adored. And again, the privilege, the glory to suffer together with Jesus. How he loves us, brothers and sisters. Oh my. Just take this comfort tonight. The word is all powerful. The word is all powerful, and we're of the word, and the word lives in us. And praise God, it's not Jesse, but it's Christ in me. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And I thank God that I know that there is not to be a hair of my head touched. You know, people, again, we give way too much credit to the devil. You don't give him any. He's just a dummy on a chain of the Lord's. But he'll destroy you and kill you and steal from you if you don't go in the way of the Lord and in the word of God. So know that. We can't stand against him, but he's powerless in the word. Hallelujah. So he asked them again in verse 8, whom seek ye? Now, this is sweetly, I believe, obvious as well, too. They're stunned. They're afraid. Jesus is basically saying, come on, let's get on with it. Let's go. Come on, it's time. And now he's ready for them to take him. And he replies, I am. But this time you see that glory is withheld. They don't fall. And it's something that's kind of interesting here in John. And he, just in the wording that he uses here, see, they have eyes and they see not, and they have ears and they hear not. Why did they even have to ask Jesus who he was and who they were seeking? It's almost as if they didn't even know who he was. See, he had to tell them. He's in command. Do you see this? They couldn't take him. And he shows that, obviously, as he says, I am, and they fall dead. But they couldn't even recognize. See, again, it's just as Job and what is so sweet in our lives. As he said to Lucifer, he said to him, have you seen my servant Job? Oh, he's such a delight. See, the Lord has to give that. The Lord has to give that. Know how all-powerful our God is. God help us. What comfort we'll take from this if we really believe how much he loves us. So it's wonderful and it's beautiful here because he now gives himself over. And it's so beautiful because he says, now you let these disciples go. You let my friends go. And praise God again. He became sin for us who knew no sin. He became the ransom. He paid the debt for us. And once again, think about this. This displays his all power. The power to command what they will do and what they did. You think about this. They knew that these disciples were his followers. They knew that, Jesus didn't have a whole lot of them. And they weren't stupid. They would want to take out these guys and kill them. And, you know, obviously the Lord allowed it later on, but that time wasn't for them yet. And here this, and like you say, there was nothing about Jesus. He was no beauty to behold him. We know there wasn't any necessarily strength in his physical body or anything of that nature. And here were this 1,000 soldiers. And he says, you let them go. And you think about this as well, too. Peter, in just a second, is going to cut one of their ears right off. Now, I think that is some type of a felony, I think, if you strike, you know, that kind of a way. But they don't touch him. They don't take Peter away with them, do they? And why? Because the word. Because the word. See, this is what's so beautiful. You would think that, you know, this is such, and it is, in a sense, it's a dark time. It's a time of such sadness and sorrow and all these things. But the beautiful thing is the Lord is showing us, even in our deepest and darkest sorrows and most incredible fiery furnaces, brothers and sisters, the word has got it all. There ain't anything going on that the word, praise the Lord, in our life is going to prevent to be for our good. Amen? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. See, this is that assurance. It's just even the same assurance that even as Judas was deceiving him and all of that. All the Lord could, again, relish is the glory, the joy. What did we read last chapter? It was about those disciples. And so sweetly, the Lord, Jesus, having that wonderful conversation and fellowship with the Father, just doting upon their faith. And we know that their faith was nothing but a mustard seed, but it was everything to him. It was everything. Oh, Father, you've given me them. You've given me them that have a mustard seed of faith. See how thankful by the grace of God we should be for God's people? But how much the more thankful. Oh, of those of like precious faith, and to want to do good to them. Praise the Lord. So, they saw this, and this army, again, would not do anything but what the Word of God was going to allow to happen and will to happen. The devil, praise God, has no power but of God. Now, Peter once again is going to be shown here as we read. Once again, his human strength is magnified as complete weakness and defeat. Poor Peter. He really has been a real testimony to us through the years, isn't he? Praise God for this precious brother. Thank the Lord for the Lord using this sweet brother. And again, who didn't just go off and sulk in defeat and just disappear. The grace of God that was with him. And by I am what I am by the grace of God. And what a precious brother and overcomer our precious brother Peter is with the Lord. But Peter goes ahead and he cuts this Malchus's ear right off. Now, this shows that Peter was not a coward of men. There were 1,500 whatever soldiers right there, and Peter was defending Jesus just like he said he would. And boy, I'll tell you, he was hot. And he, just threw that sword and chopped that ear. But just in a few hours, you think about this, he's going to deny, actually less than 3 hours, about two, they think. In less than 2 hours, this guy that just cut off an ear of a soldier in front of a 500, 1,000 soldiers is going to deny the Lord three times. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Such boldness, such power, but yet the Word of God is true. Peter, you can't go in your own strength. You think you can keep something. You think, Peter, and listen to this, brothers and sisters. We think we can keep something. We can achieve something in our own strength. And they were celebrating that, and again, what an abomination it is. I don't even like to repeat it, but today, the next 40 days, we're going to give up something. Amen. Know it, brothers and sisters. He's the one that gave it all. And it's the grace of God that is with us, and it's that grace through faith, praise the Lord, that works any goodness in me. And I thank the Lord how sweet and what a privilege and honor it is to magnify him in everything and knowing that we are nothing and he is everything. But you see, this is a very sweet thing because Peter's sword represents man's rebellion. See, our strength is a rebellious thing. There's only one sword and that's the sword of the Spirit that we fight with, amen. The word of the Lord, because we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting spiritual wickedness in high places. But see, that sword represented pride. It represented self-righteousness. See, as long as Jesus stood up to his accusers, Peter would fight to the death. But once Jesus surrendered, once Jesus tells Peter, am I not going to drink of my Father's cup? Surrendering full to the Father's will, that incredible grace that Jesus was, again, just exuding this grace upon grace upon grace and giving himself, this was just too much for Peter. See, he was too immature to understand such grace. He was too immature in the Word of God, and obviously he wasn't endured with power yet. He wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. He didn't have that love of God shed abroad in his heart to really understand the grace of God. Amen. To really understand that I have no strength. That it is the word of the Lord. That I, God forbid we try to help the word of God. and do those things. But see, Peter was just so immature, he couldn't understand and lay hold of such grace, he still had to go in Peter's strength. But see, Jesus knew this, didn't he? And he knew this great failure that would be so crushing was not only for Peter's good, but it was for his best. Because it was going to strip Peter of all his strength, so much stripping that all that would remain is the power of Christ. The power of the grace of God. The encouragement, Peter, I've got you right where I want you. You're through with you. You realize that you can't do a thing. You realize, Peter, that without me, you're unfaithful. Peter, you can't worship me without me. Hallelujah. I have to give you the unction. I have to give you the desire. I've got to give you even that little spark you don't get. It's the Lord. I encourage myself in the grace of God that is with me. Amen? Amen. That precious love. And that's such another beautiful truth in this passage, brothers and sisters. You think about this. Peter and Judas right here, both of them fail so miserably, don't they? They both do. But one is kept and one will be endued with power, whereas the other one is a cast off, all because one has faith and the other one chose unbelief. Amazing. Amazing. Peter and Judas. And you think about it. Both are even, there's a remorse in a sense after the crucifixion, but see, remorse doesn't get it. Peter is the one who repents because of faith. And Judas, you can have remorse, but if you just have unbelief, you're just going to end up hanging yourself. That's the difference. Faith, praise God. And there's only one faith, and that's in Jesus. So aren't we thankful tonight, brothers and sisters, that we know that we cannot keep ourselves, that the only keeping is in Jesus. It's all because of his faithfulness, his workmanship, his mighty grace that I am what I am. And I was thinking how sweet it is that, you know, Peter again, time and time again, going out in his own strength, and the Lord in his faithfulness stopping him right in his tracks. But yet here is Peter, that one that's such a magnificent verse of encouragement in 2 Peter 3:18. I just rejoice in it so much. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How wonderful that it is. The pinnacle of it all is the grace of God. And we thank the Lord that these precious failures have brought us nigh to God. So now we're at the point of where Jesus is taken to Annas and Caiaphas. And here, Jesus, in a very short amount of time, is going to face six trials. He's going to face three trials with the Jews for religious purposes. And then he's going to face three civil trials with the Romans. And you think about how the Jews started this whole thing off. They broke basically every law that there could be that they were trying to follow. You know, first of all, taking him at night. Then they were accusing him for no cause. And then here we had the soldiers strike him. Then they brought him before two priests. You just see the confusion here. And who's the author of confusion? The devil. That's right. And you may set out and you may try to think that you're following something or something for a good. But let me tell you something. You're either for me or against me. We either go in the word or we're going in our own strength. And we know that we go in our own strength and our own ways. What does the Lord says? And I'll send leanness to your soul. See the stench of their evil, defiant ways, their self-righteousness. It was so evident and putrid, it just stood out. And we see here, again, he's before the two priests, which they're just so confused. And here's the only one true high priest, which is Jesus. And I love that in the Gospel of John, if you read this portion in the other Gospels, you'll find that John is one that only speaks very briefly of this kangaroo court. He speaks very briefly of this the malicious trials of Jesus, in a sense of these mock trials, these kangaroo things. And rather, he only magnifies Jesus as that full overcoming eagle. It's beautiful. John, just again, his eyes were so upon the Lord. And again, this, and why not? Because this is the one, the writer that the Lord had chosen to bring forth the message of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. See how wonderful that is? And we know without the Holy Ghost and that fullness of the Holy Ghost in our lives, we're not going to be soaring as full overcoming eagles. It's not going to happen. We can even be filled, but if we're not full of that wonderful Holy Ghost, brothers and sisters, there's not an overcoming and a love overcoming. And the love is what overcomes. But we see how sweet this is. Again, Jesus, he was bound as the lamb. See, he was bound as the lamb. The word was always being fulfilled. Know that. See, don't think that your life is an accident. Yield to God. Don't go by what man thinks. See, man thought they were taking him down, didn't they? No, the word was being fulfilled. He was going to be bound just like they did the sacrifice with the cords. Amen. And then, notice here, he was led away. He wasn't drug away. He wasn't forced their way. He was led away. And I'll tell you, the only leading that Jesus ever had is by the Spirit. The Spirit led him into the wilderness. Amen? You see, there's that leading. You see, again, that he is all-powerful. The Word is all-powerful. And then he was smitten on the cheek. He knew that was coming. He spoke of that in Micah and how wonderful it just fulfilled the Word that he would be smote on the cheek. Amen? From the garments that would be parted and the lots cast to the vinegar that would be touched to his lips. Brothers and sisters, the Word is so all perfect. The evil man cannot do but what the Word of God says they're going to do. You would just think that they would read and say, oh, well, I'm not going to do that. They can't. Because all power has appointed that wicked for the day of evil. Know this for our lives. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice, praise the Lord. My steps are ordered of God. Now, as we close this up tonight, I think this is really the sweetest part of this whole section. What's magnified as we get over here from that 19th to the 27th verse, always is Peter's denial, the three times that he denies the Lord. And it is precious because the Lord's dealing with Peter, and he's stripping Peter of Peter. And again, we must he must increase and I must decrease. And this is a way that that's going. But there's a hidden jewel in here. And the hidden jewel, praise the Lord, is that another disciple that was there. A lot of times that's just passed over. People forget. Wait a second, you mean there was another disciple that was there? Yep, sure was. We read about that another disciple. Did we not? Amen. And in verse 15, we see that disciple there. It said again in verse 15, and Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. This is beautiful. And where was Peter? Peter stood outside the door. Matter of fact, in Matthew 26, 58, it says that Peter stood afar off. So we have kind of a contrast of disciples, don't we? We have a contrast here of believers. We have one that was pretty full of himself and pretty confident that, you know, he was strong in the Lord. He was professing to everybody, Lord, I'll never deny you. But yet here's this disciple that, you know what, they're not even mentioning the name of this guy. Because his title, in a sense, and his name, it really didn't matter. What mattered was Jesus. What matters was the glory. What mattered, praise the Lord, was this precious privilege to enter in. And notice what he says, and this disciple went into the palace of the high priest. Let me tell you something. That might be on the surface. You're thinking, well, yeah, he was in there going in to see Caiaphas and all that. Oh, no, 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 no. We're talking, again, heavenly here. The high and only high priest. Praise God to God. This is what this is typing here. And Peter stood outside the door. And then that disciple that went in, it says that he even goes back to the door. He speaks to that damsel at the door and then is bringing in, wanting to bring in Peter. And may God help us to see, brothers and sisters, this is such, in its fullness, such bridal-type glory here. First off, we have this disciple that is with Jesus. Now, many will talk about a lot of different things. I tend to believe, in a sense, and it really doesn't matter, but I do believe it is the writer. I believe this might be John himself, the disciple whom Jesus loved. I believe the reason he wasn't named, there wasn't any need for him to be named in this part. Because all glory is to Jesus. Amen. She descends from heaven having the glory of God and her light. So the only glory and the only light there is one, and that's Jesus. So thanks be to God that he chose us as a vessel to show forth his wonderful glory, that we would be to the praise and the glory of his grace. So we see this, and how sweet that we have this type here. And what a privilege is seen here that this disciple that was not named, he was willing to go. And he was willing to be in the presence of the suffering. See, that wasn't a comfortable place to be in, to go in there and to seeing them abuse Jesus. Matter of fact, it was even a fearful place, because you would think, well, wait a second, if I'm accompanying him, even though he told him to let us go back there, what are we doing here? They're going to seize us now. But there was a love. There was appreciation. And there was no way he was departing from that. Doesn't it sound a lot like Elijah and Elisha? You know, and those prophets that saw at afar off. And there Elisha, you know, Elijah stand. Now you go on. I'm not leaving you. You can tell me all you want, but I'm not leaving you. But I believe there's something here. Amen. Even in all of this sadness, even in all of this sorrow, my goodness, this is where the table set for two is really happening, isn't it? This is the place you're going to find the double portion. This is the place, praise God, you're going to pick up the mantle. Hallelujah. This is the place of the glory upon glory. This is, hallelujah, that wonderful, much the more, that this precious, wonderful disciple that is not named, because he goes on in, he's willing to be amongst the suffering. And then notice this as well, too. So he goes in and goes into that palace, and he enters there first. Then he goes back to gather the faint-hearted Peter. He goes back to gather the fearful and then bring them in. Do you not see the picture of the bridal company here that's first gathered into heaven? And the ones that are willing to suffer, and then the fearful believers will be gathered up. Then that innumerable multitude, because let me tell you something, that speaks a lot of that tear that's got to be wiped from their eye. Amen. Had to be a sorrow and a fear, but praise be to God. It doesn't say anything about any fear of this disciple that it went in with him. He said, I'm going in. Praise God. We going in? Hallelujah. By the grace of God, it's a privilege, it's an honor, it's a glory to suffer together with him. Oh, the glory, hallelujah, that only he can receive in that joint fellowship of his sufferings. But brothers and sisters, it only gets better. And I think we have to talk about these types again that are seen in John that's typing these bridal ones. And then in Peter that does types, if you want to say, an innumerable multitude, those that don't finish again with the full joy. And I'd like to kind of flash forward to the cross and speaking of these two again. Turn over the page to chapter 19 and let's read verses 25 through 27. Now, in verses 25 through 27, and God willing, we'll be back here again. It's a precious place to be. And you notice what time, I know we don't observe times and all of that, but you know, Easter's coming upon us. And isn't that something, how the Lord's got us right in here? Isn't it such a glory? He just is giving double portion all over the place. I just love him so much. It's just wonderful to just go with him. It's wonderful to just let him take it, no matter where we would be. But those are just some precious things. Nothing's a coincidence to God. But it says here, in verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, there's John, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And I always appreciate what the Lord gave Brother Ty to bring out so beautifully in that study of this word woman. It means bride. It means the wife. It's so wonderful. All of the layers here that's in this precious truth. It's just marvelous. Then saith he to the disciple, to John, behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. Praise God. I think of this as John taken home. In a sense, the bridal message. Now, I understand and I know that John, again, his place is going to be upon a throne over the 12 tribes. I get that. But you know, they can actually type things too. And there can be bridal types in all of these beautiful layers of the Word of God. But you see, Peter may have been given the keys of the kingdom. And I see in that a lot of times too, in Peter giving that, I think of how he is really, a sense, kingdom glory. But John was entrusted with the mother of Jesus. There's a difference there, isn't there? More specifically, John was entrusted with the woman, which That word means the wife. And you see, I believe John, so evident here, represents the bridal higher calling glory because he was the disciple that Jesus loved. He was the disciple that was willing to suffer together with Jesus. He goes into the palace of the high priest. He is in charge with the woman, the bride. And no wonder, brothers and sisters, he would be the one that the Lord encourages to bring forth this message in John, the message of the coming of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Why not would he not be the one who would speak of the all truth, the infilling and the love shed abroad in our hearts and praise God? And then why not get in the blessing to bring forth the glory of revelation? Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord. And all because of what? Love. Jesus loved him. And you know what? He knew that Jesus loved him. That's why that sweet brother just stuck his head on his breast. This is the best place to be. It's all of him. It's all by him. So, this is such a sweet thing. So, but I'm going to tell you something just like everything else. You know what? The story even gets better. Let's go on over chapter 20. We'll just wrap it up with this, but this is probably my most favorite of all the types of the bridal glory in John. And the second place that's kind of the second place finish that's typed in Peter. Going over to verse 20, and we'll read verses 1 through 6. Now, this is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The first day of the week comes, Mary Magdalene early, when it was dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeing the stone taken away from the sepulchre, then she runs and comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. Isn't that wonderful that he just calls you his lover? I don't need him. I know he calls me by name. Don't get me wrong. He knows me. But I like this. Here, lover. Hi, lover. The lover of my soul. And you see it coming? Because this is what the Holy Ghost and only the Holy Ghost can do in our lives. He grows us up. He takes that love and he sheds it abroad. We become mature in the things of God. We become bold in the things of the Lord. And that's why, brothers and sisters, that wonderful fellowship that we have in the Spirit, and praise God, the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost, and praising the Lord, as Paul said, I'm glad I speak more than ye all in that precious language of tongues. And I believe the Lord is going to encourage something in that, because I know that the enemy, all he wants to do is to confuse and to hurt and to get people to think one way or another. Let me tell you something. I've met many a people that are saved, but they don't know it. And I believe that there's people that think somehow, some way, that they really didn't get filled when they spoke in tongues, because the enemy gets in there and they just fight it. Well, I saw brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, and she just went on and on and on. Doesn't say how much. It just says that's the evidence. Now, that doesn't mean that you just are satisfied with that by the grace of God. Just go on. It said to follow Paul as he followed Christ. Oh, be bold in that. Oh, that comfort that we have as we speaking those mysteries unto the Father. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you know, take time to worship and quit thinking and just begin to pray and to worship and to thank him. It's amazing what will pop out of this mouth when your heart is full of the Lord. Praise his wonderful name. But where were we? Okay. Let's see. So, verse 2. Then she runs and comes to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, there's John, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter. Now why would the word of God just make this, you know, so like this, you know? Peter was just a bad runner. He was slow. What was this emphasis here? Run that I may attain. I'm going to run. I'm not going to fight as one that just beats the air. It's going to be with purpose and there is one that wins the race. You see it all in here? This is so beautiful. Again, this contrast of Peter and John, and this one that does finish first, and this one that just seems to bumble a little bit along. So they ran together, and the other disciple, that's John, did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down, and see, that's what happens when you're a good runner. You get down. You get lowly. He must increase and I must decrease. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? So he gets down and looking in, oh, the eyes of understanding. He saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head not lying with the linen clothes. Amen. See, we're not with him yet, but wrapped together in a place by itself. I always loved that too, and I know most probably know this, but what that means is that these garments were not just thrown or strewn around, they were folded perfectly. And I love that in the Jewish tradition, if the napkin was folded on a table and the person that was sitting there had gotten up, that folded napkin means that they would come back. If it was just something that was, you know, wadded up and thrown down, that means that they were finished. Let me tell you something, Jesus is coming back. And we know that, and it's so wonderful in all of these things. These are these love stories, see, and these encouragements to us. Every line, jot and tittle, I love you, I love you, I love you. Let me count the way, amen? So it's so wonderful. But you see, they ran together, but the lover outran Peter, didn't he? And he came to the place of death first. He got to the place where he just stooped down. The utter lowliness, the humbleness, praise God, that was represented in this sweet John, the lover of the Lord. And then finally in verses 7 through 10, and the napkin was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. See, that's the beautiful thing about the lover. The love of God causes us to believe. Amen? See, faith works by what? Love. If you don't see the love of God and really see it in scriptures, if you're just trying to learn this by rote, if you're reading these things and I'm just going to memorize it, I'm going to fill out, you know, forms and check boxes and things of that nature, that's not love. Love is, love is Jesus. But it is. It's just what it is. You can't help. It causes us to, again, be the people that we could never be, do things that we never knew. It's that love of God that causes us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And it says, therefore, as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead, then the disciples went away again unto their own home. So this is mighty, mighty stuff, isn't it? Don't you love the truth? Amen. Love the truth. Praise God. See, again, it's all throughout here, brothers and sisters, because behold, the bridegroom cometh. He's coming, and he's coming soon, and I'm thankful to the Lord. He just continues to minister, yea, by his Spirit, the deep things of God if we want it. Praise his name. Let's stand and be dismissed.